the song reminded me of that which I am stricken with was again yesterday, but at any funeral, is the absolute certainty of standing before God. I don't know what it'd be like. If you think God has removed all dread from me, you are wrong. We've just got enough in nature to tremble when we think of facing God. Micah, if you'll turn years and years ago, someone gave me this little help in finding the minor prophets. You know, you've got the major prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. And then after Daniel, heaven just aimed over Jordan. I hadn't come up with an M and the N yet of those next two. Heaven, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Jonah. You get those five, then you got an M to get you to the next one, Micah. I certainly did not give you that to insult your intelligence. Maybe I just need more help than you with a feeble mind. Then maybe again it might help you young folks. Micah chapter number 6. So physically worn out last evening in upon returning, drained with absolutely no strength mentally or physically, I didn't attempt to open the book. And everything that I had been looking at, of course, after Thursday morning, then for the rest up until yesterday, my mind was turned towards the funeral service yesterday. But prior to that news, I had been looking at verse number 8. But I didn't have anything there this morning. I do trust that the Lord will hear us as we call upon Him and will help in the preaching and in the receiving of His truth. If you would, let's unite our hearts together as we seek His dear face. Eternal and righteous God, in whom all, because of grace and mercy that flows through Christ, We are honored and very privileged to call you our Father. Lord, Thou art more real more alive than anything we know in life. There are those times that we go through desert land, wilderness, under the attack of the evil one with his fiery darts. There are those times when to us the sun does not shine and darkness creeps into our dwelling. But thank you for Christ's faith within that enables us to press beyond or through these times. Thank you for the blessed sun shining, for the revelation of Thy dear person as we come to see, to know, to love and follow the great shepherd. We thank you. And we bow this morning to give thee thanks. Ask that you receive from our souls praise and worship. For Almighty God, Thou surely art worthy for what we are, if we are in a right standing with Thee, was all given to us. Blessed be Thy name. Help these Thy children on to know you, on to love you, to serve you. And Father, continue to get us away from instituted formality and into that realm of spiritual worship. Gracious God, carry us beyond who we are, what we are in Adam, activities, life itself. And would you grant us this day a time just sitting at the feet of the great teacher. Our tender, loving, kind shepherd. And who lead us this day, gracious shepherd, into green pastures. Enable the sheep to lie down, resting in Thee beside still waters. Help us this hour to attain possibly, Lord, unto heights that we've never known. To sight we've never seen. Exalt Christ. Receive our petitions and our worship. through the Lord Jesus. And through Him, that it might be unto Thee a sweet-smelling savor, fresh and anew this day, because our hearts are involved. Help these dear souls. I don't know their needs. I pray You'd help them. Whatever state, whatever condition, whatever place that providence has brought them and they are in this morning, I pray You'd help them and make them to know that it is God Almighty who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And whatever comes, it comes from the hand of our Sovereign Father, who never intends evil towards the children, but He sent it that it might bring good and do good for us. Help in the preaching as well as in the hearing, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I have quoted to you several, or paraphrased to you several times, the saying of Jonathan Edwards that it is the duty of every minister to find the direction and the movement of the Spirit in his day. One of the old preachers of the last generation kindly picked up his own phrase from that, and he said, it is the duty of every person to know the way in which the Redeemer is going in his day. The Bible can give you great help. It can feed your soul. You can obtain from it much. But in and of itself, it is a dead letter. It can do nothing for you. Or it can fatten the head. But it can't do anything for the heart until God, the Spirit, applies it. The pressing issue upon my soul for the last months, many months, has been that the church, one more time, will be brought to know God as He is. And that when we gather, that there is a sense of us being in a holy presence. And God getting us away from so much religious training and religious education, and bring us back into the realm in which our old forefathers walked in the Spirit, knowing God and worshiping Him. I appreciate the place. God has been gracious to us. But there's nothing about this place. Unless God is being revealed and you are coming to know Him. Micah chapter 6. We'll read down to verse number 6. And using the first, or part of the first phrase in verse 6, to speak to you about coming before the Lord. Because you're here does not mean that you're before the Lord. Because you open your Bible does not mean that you are before the Lord. As we listen to the devotions and scripture given to us, and as we sing the hymn, does not mean that we are before the Lord. Something above this place, and there's something above all that we do. You know, I think all that we do is right. All tradition is not bad. There's something above all that we do, and that is every one of us before Almighty God. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. I wish that I had time, wasn't to be. I wish that I could this morning tell you spiritually what the mountains and the hills are beyond literally mountains and hills. Sometimes it is speaking of great men. Sometimes it is speaking of God Himself. As the mountains being round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord God round about you, His church. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Let me just pause there for a minute. Brother Riggy had told me more than once, but Tim reminded the folks again yesterday. You know how animated Riggy was. Well, one day the sheriff was called to go out in the woods behind this house, because there was a tremendous noise and she didn't know what was going on. And the sheriff came back and said, "Oh, it's just Reggie praying." He was animated. Let the hear. I'm not saying you got to verbalize everything, but I'm saying that the heart has got to at least be animated when you talk with the Lord. Verse 2, "Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people." It is so today. "And he will plead with Israel." Listen to the question, children. Please strive to obtain an answer in your heart to this before God. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? You're tired. You will get tired in the way, never of the way. You will find fatigue. Just be careful in those situations that the heart does not murmur nor complain about where God has you. Bitterness can set in. Guard, guard your soul against bitterness. And don't let it set in. What have I done to you, children? Where have I wearied you? I want you in your soul, God said, to testify against me. We got to get to the point where we have personal dealings because of a personal relationship with Christ. I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, redeemed thee out of the house of thy servants. I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Psalm 105, God said, I sent a man before you. Before the famine became so great and you'd run out of food, I sent a man before you. Sold as a slave down in Egypt, sold as a bondservant whose feet they put in fetters. And marginal reading is, and his soul came into iron. I tell you what God will do with every true minister. He will extend them. And that he has given them all for the benefit of his people, bringing them to an end of self. And God will make us the offscouring of the world, the peelings of the potatoes, or of the tomatoes, or of the vegetables, the peelings. That when you are through with, you just throw out. God make us that for your benefit. I brought you out of Egypt. I sent Moses, Aaron, Miriam. I brought you into Egypt, but I had a man down there before. Those great number of years, he was down there and the Word of God trying him. Iron came into his soul. But he's the one that fed you. And he's the one that looked after you. And all the world was in famine so that God could get the church down there to that one he had sent before them as their Savior. Oh, verse 5, my people, remember. I just want you to stop with me there and let's go back. My remembrance. Most of it now that's up there is my foolishness, my pride, my zeal without knowledge. My carelessness, my indifference to the things of God or God Himself. I was more interested in what God would do than who God was. My remembrance and the older I get, the more I see so much of me in so many years of the ministry rather than God. The awareness of my sinfulness is greater today. It is so much greater today than it was 40 years ago. If God didn't have past sins would crush us. The one thing that I am acquiring, God the Spirit, I am not so quick to rush in to the presence of God. If something is demanded of me by life, by individuals, if it is necessary, I'll do that first, rather than tip my hat to God and quickly say amen so I can get on with the routine of life. Fools rush in where angels dare to tread. I'll stay away. I will distance myself. Though we are always in the presence of God, there's something about prayer, there's something about gathering together that we get beyond the presence of God in general into the very presence of a being. Well, I'll avoid that latter presence until hopefully I can get my heart ready and be as angels that tread so lightly on holy things. Now all of you heard John. Evidently, it must have been correct what he said about God never changing. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same tomorrow. And it will be strength. And it will help you in times when God is not to be found. But let me tell you, in my own heart and in my own life, God has changed. Hold on a moment, because it seems like I'm making the scriptures out to be a lie. Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. In my heart and in my mind, the God I serve today is not the one I started out 40 years ago serving. He's a lot bigger. He's a lot holier than I ever imagined Him to be. He is a lot more powerful. And though I can quote all things God does, now that's real. So we've got to say, it doesn't mean God in His immediate being has changed, but it does mean that God to me has changed. Though it is true, I am the Lord, I change not. It is not true in your soul. God will change. He'll get bigger. Jesus Christ will become lovelier. His mercy will get greater. And you'll find Him, if He spares you and He tarries, you'll find Him to be different 10 years from now than what He is now. It wasn't God changing. It was just God making known a little more of Himself. That's the word, remember. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted. What Balaam hired Balaam. He is going to give him riches. Balaam had a greedy heart. And that he wanted riches and position in life. But he went and he ended up blessing the people of God that he was hired to curse. And what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Now our text. Where are we at? I want all of you to get this. I'm not here, but for no reason. I don't want you to be impressed with anything about preaching. Well, the preacher was really into it today. I don't want you thinking about anything but this question. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? How under heaven can I go before the Lord? Now you let those words ring and echo in your soul. How can I do it? And bow myself before, now listen, the High God. In the spiritual realm, I would cut to pieces all the false prophets of Baal and of the grove. I'd destroy them all. I would destroy harlot religion. And if it was in my power, or praying God would raise up a witness for him in these last days. I set God so high and so exalted and so glorious in his person. And I'd set sinners, all of us, in our rightful place. And say, now how you gonna do that? Read with me Isaiah. I hope chapter 1. If I could, in the hearts and in the minds of all God's children, I'd set God so very high that you'd think before you dared start into His presence. Isaiah 1:5. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. Now listen. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. That's me. That's you. I don't care what you think of yourself. This is the description of every child of Adam. I go one step further. This is the description of every child of the Son of God with their old nature. From the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it. God's got to remake. God's got to create. God's got to begin destroying ungodly affections and destroying idols, idolatry in our mind, and making us see outside Christ, inside Christ in Adam. This is where you are. It's where I am. No soundness in your flesh. Wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And every now and again you'll lose the sense that you are a child of God. Every now and again you will be brought under the awareness of the corruption that is about you by birth. It sure enhances the Savior when in the awareness of all this, faith raises me to a height beyond what I really am. To a sight of God. And by faith in Christ, I can come before the Lord. And I can bow myself before a high. I knew He was God back yonder. But He's a lot higher now than He was. I have a greater awareness of my sinfulness now than I did But it's a glorious thing for God to lift you above who you really are and let you bow. I don't care if you're riding down the road. Let you bow. I don't care if you're walking through the woods and you never bend a knee. But let you bow in your heart to the high God. This question will only be asked to one who has spiritual senses, bringing him or her, you, before the magnitude of God and His holiness. This question has no relevance in the heart of any but the children. Yes, I accepted Jesus and walked down the aisle and I've seen them popping their gum and laughing and joking and going kneeling in the altar, nothing happening, but they told they are a Christian getting up and never change. And they won't ever consider walking and bowing in the presence of Almighty God. It has no relevance in the heart of religious people. No relevance. And the God that is declared today out there, He is so weak and He is so feeble and has no, doesn't have the ability and the power to bring all that He wants to, not all that He wants to bring to Christ, but they are so powerful that God must wait on them to decide. Well, in the early years, I was of that persuasion. But blessed be God Almighty, He didn't leave me there too long. The Spirit of God has dealt so with an awakened sinner. That first hour after salvation, you are so joyous. And you feel so light that you could float because of what God has done for you. And you think that your feet will never touch the ground again. It's just God helping you. But one day, all of a sudden, you become aware of past sins and you're back down on the earth. And you think, well, I was fooled. I was deceived. I didn't get saved. I just keep on walking, children. Keep on looking to Jesus. Trusting in Him. And the sight God will show you of Himself will bring in your consciousness this question. How shall I come before Jehovah and bow myself before the High God? Do you ever just stop? You don't have a need, but you just stop to give thanks to God the Father. To the Lord Jesus. To the Spirit of God. Do you ever just stop? Come into His presence and bow. Any heart that the Spirit of God has begun a work will get to this place where you question yourself as to whether or not you should enter into the holy place. And you'll be as Esther. You got to get to the king, but you know if the king doesn't hold out the golden scepter, you're a dead woman. But there's such a need in your soul that it doesn't matter if he kills you or not, just as long as he'll let you get to him. But one thing that's necessary before we'll ever get to that place where God is in this church exalted, the one thing necessary before your hearts will ever go out to him in adoration and thanks and praise is God before you as he is. You're not going to worship a little God, children. And every one of us, it's still there. You may have torn off some pieces, but every one of us had an idol and an image of God. You're not going to worship till he begins the destruction of every idol in your mind. And I'll leave you with this. If you do not do everything that is possible for you to do and necessary to prepare your hearts for worship, for the closet, for approaching, you either have never seen God or your sight of Christ has become blurred. At least the thinking was correct. Maybe we'll get farther Wednesday night, I don't know. At least the thinking was correct. How shall I come? You got anything to carry to God? There's not a one of us got one thing. Well, I've been good. Yes, but sin is mixed with your good. You've never done anything of yourself. Never. That you can grab your hands, lay hold of, and carry it before God. You and I are going empty-handed. The only hope you've got is Christ Jesus. And that's it. You can't even hope in your faith. You can't hope in your hope. A lot of people have faith in their faith. Mm-mm. Now, faith might get you to Christ. But it's Christ going to get you the glory. He had the question right. How can I go before God? Give him a little credit, children. when you start into His presence. Now, I know there will be times when the need is so great that you haven't got time to sit around and think about God's being and God's person. I mean, you're in the water, you're sinking, and you can't sit there thinking about how mighty and glorious Christ is. You've just got to call out for help. I mean, you need it then. But that's not the general course. Get God right in your mind. Get God right in your heart. And get a little amazed at how God would let you into His presence. And get a little overcome by the fact that God would let you into His presence. How can I go to God? Tim, you come lead us. Tobel, you dismiss us, please.
May God bless you.